Levi, a.k.a. Redfish Chuck. And the Redfish Chuck Show's co-host, Alan Ryland. And also featuring the Redfish Chuck Show's other co-host, Peppy Vidal.
Yeah, man, and with that, you know that it is Monday night here at Kayak Fishing Radio on Blog Talk Radio Network, and we definitely would like to welcome our boy Peppy back from his trip down to Key Largo.
Yes, sir.
Glad you made it back safe, man.
Yeah,
glad you made it back safe. Alan, who has, I think, has officially lost his nickname of the turtle. I think what we'll call Alan from now on is the Snapper Slayer, or Snapperhead, as he called himself there in honor. Snapperhead, I like it. So Alan's now the Snapperhead because he put it on us today when we did a little snapper recon. Hey, you know what's really cool about it, man, is that you kind of stepped outside of your comfort zone a little bit, something that you haven't done out of the kayak, and you see that it's successful.
I know. I was over paddle depth water. That was a big step for me. I wasn't scared either.
There you go. Yeah. Well, of course, we were joined today out there on the water by our good friends Tammy and Wade and Greg, from Space Coast Kayak Angler Group, and had a good time. We started off on a flat looking for some fish and ran into about 500 boats and decided to call it quits and head on over to the bridge and play around on the bridge a little bit. And we'll get to some of that a little bit later on in the show. I know we're going to have some guys calling in here shortly with some reports. I believe we got Brad from Sunjammers up in Pensacola giving us a shout tonight. We should have our good friend Derek Burgess from over on the West Coast giving us a shout as well. I got a fishing report from Hootie Hoo, the man over there, Hootie Hoo from the West Coast. You guys know him by that. And, so we'll, you know, we got some of that stuff going on. Hopefully we'll get a couple other callers calling in as well. And if any of you guys are listening to the show or you got a chance to get out and do some fishing this weekend, on this, this fine Labor Day weekend, give us a call, 714-816-4727. 714-816-4727. And as always, we're going to jump right into a couple of local things that are going on. Of course, the probably one of the things that's coming up the quickest is the Help Emily Now tournament. That's the for the Rouse family there. Over, it's going to be September the 14th at Kayaks by Bow in Titusville, at located at 410 South Hopkins Avenue in historic downtown Titusville. Excuse me. And if you have not signed up to be a part of that tournament, I suggest you do so. If you cannot fish it in the morning, I suggest you at least come by in the afternoon and buy some raffle tickets and get in on some of those prizes that will be given away, because I think every manufacturer in the entire industry has donated something. It seems that way. So, and it's a great cause, of course. I mean, that's first and foremost. It's most important that we help Emily stay in her school. So for more information on that, check out helpemilynow.org and click on the tournament link at the top of the toolbar there, and it'll take you to the information in which you need. And then, of course, we got Alan. You got your deal coming up soon, right?
Yep, coming up Saturday, November 9th, for plugging away, just kind of in limbo now, letting people get signed up and, you know, making reservations for camping and stuff like that. So still got a couple months. So, you know, we're not panicking yet. We're focusing on the Emily tournament right now. That's the next one for me too. So, you know, once that's done and in the books, then we'll start gearing up for the Redfish tournament.
Very cool. Any new developments with that or what?
No, not really. I mean, we, you know, we've got all our sponsors lined up. We got the registration open. everything's pretty much lined up and ready to go. Now we just wait. So hopefully get a bunch of people signed up, have a pretty good cash payout, lots of prizes, and that's it. Should be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. I enjoy running that.
Very cool. Well, if it's anything like your trout tournament you put on, bro, it'll be a great event as well. So, we got a lot of guests in the chat room tonight. Guests, if you want to try and log in, you can use your Facebook or Twitter account if you have one or the other to log into the chat room there. You can join the likes of Lenny Sutton from Black Dog Custom Rods, engineer who is Wade Hollowell. We learned that today, we were reminded that Hollowell is his last name, right? So, and then you got Matt Giles in there, Hootie Hoo, that's Hootie Hoo there. Non-pro staff Murdoch Pepe, of course, is in the chat room as always, and Mr. Randy English. So feel free to join us there. You can chit-chat inside the chat room, and if you have any questions, whatever, you're more than a Holloway, well, whatever. You're more than welcome to join us there in the chat room. Please feel free to do so. But anyway, so Pappy, man, tell us about your weekend.
Hey, you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, it was good. I took off to the Keys on Friday. Hadn't been down to the Keys in probably about over a year, man. I think the last time I was down there to see my parents or anything like that down in the Keys is probably when I went to my Dry Tortugas trip last year around the same time, right around the same time. And went down there Friday night. First thing I saw, I don't know if you saw the picture on Facebook Dad put up. Get down there, hanging out, having a few drinks and stuff with my parents and everything there, and looking out towards the dock, and here's the dock with the dock is just glowing green. I mean, underneath it. It's just glowing green underneath. And talked to my dad, and I go, what's up with that? You know, and he goes, those new lights we just put up, you know, put up some of these LED lights underneath the water lights, the ones that go into water. And I go, man, that's pretty cool and stuff like that. And I go, is there any fish down there? And he goes, yeah, there's fish down there. You know, there's been fish coming around. There's always been snapper. Sure enough, I walk down into the dock to go check it out. I'm standing there, and the dock clears, water's as clear as could be with the green light. And I'm looking underneath, and I see snapper swimming around, all kinds of stuff. And all of a sudden, off the corner of my eye, I see not big, you know, like a 24, 25-inch snook. All of a sudden, just shows up in the light. And I'm like, oh, this is great, you know. It's like, you know, all of a sudden, the first night I was out there just seeing that, but... I didn't do any fishing or anything like that there that night. You know, I was enjoying myself a little bit too much. You know, enjoying the company with my dad, Jameson, you know, my mom, you know. So just hanging out, you know, but it was cool to see that. Went dolphin fishing on Saturday. Saturday morning, went dolphin fishing. Only caught a bunch of peanuts, caught a ton of peanuts. There is a ton of peanuts out there. 21, 22-inch peanuts and let them all go. We didn't want to be, you know, cleaning small fish like that or anything like that, so we just let them all go. And got into some bonitas, too. That was fun. We actually started catching bonitas and having a bunch of fun with those on light tackle. And that's did that. And on Sunday morning, went yellowtail fishing on Sunday morning with my brother and went out to about 70 feet of water. It was just us, my brother and I, and one more charter boat that was out there at the time. And he was out there, and it was nice, just a couple boats out there. Everything was good, you know. We had a bunch of chum, everything like that. We had all the bait and stuff. We start chumming the water. And next, you know, when we're chumming the water, all of a sudden we have hundreds of ballyhoo on a chum bag. Hundreds
nice.
Of ballyhoo in the chum bag. Yeah, it was crazy how much ballyhoo we had in the chum bag. And my brother and I were like, we have a cast net? And we're like, neither one of us are. Well, we didn't bring one, but there might be one on the boat. And me and him started tearing up my dad's boat, going through every single compartment that we could find. We found a cast net. We did find a cast net. We pulled out that cast net, and we must have, we came back, we must have put into the cooler easily over 100 ballyhoo. My
wow.
brother and I caught over 100 ballyhoo, me and him caught, and kept on fishing, and then did our fishing thing, whatever stuff, and started trying to catch yellowtail. The yellowtail never showed up, but the triggerfish did. Triggerfish
nice.
Showed up. Yep, and we got on the triggerfish, changed up our hooks, put some smaller hooks on, and we put a herring on the triggerfish. I don't know if people are out there and never tried triggerfish, you're missing it. You don't. If people think that you don't eat that triggerfish is not good to eat. Triggerfish is one of the best eating fish. You just got to get through that skin. As long as you get through that skin and stuff, that's all there is to it. It's white meat, tastes great. I mean, if you get triggerfish anywhere you're bottom fishing, you gotta try to catch them. And I mean, they're one of the best eating fish around.
Amen, brother.
And then everything got crazy after that. You know, then it was 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, something like that. Then the boats started coming in. It was crazy. I saw one guy throw an anchor. It was like 3 to 4 out there. One guy throws an anchor from the back of the boat. I see him anchoring up with the anchor in the back of the boat, and I'm just sitting there laughing at my brother going, what the heck? Is this guy really throwing an anchor from the back of the boat? You know, just crazy things. You know, just long weekends. You know how long weekends are. You see people doing stuff like that. We had one guy come by my anchor, by the front of the boat, by the anchor, within 20 yards of the anchor. You know, stuff like that. You know, just crazy stuff. But other than that, man, it was a good weekend, man. We had a good weekend. We didn't catch a lot of fish. You know, we didn't get targeted fish. What we were going for, but it was good though. We had a good time. So definitely next time we go back, we got to do something out there with the kayaks. My dad, talk to my dad again, and my dad is definitely down to do a mothership trip with us with our son with that. My dad's boat and another 36 foot CB is also in it too. They said they'll take some boats out there too. So
nice,
be good. We're down. Let's do it.
Book it, Dano.
Nope.
Can you hear me?
Hey, you guys there?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, did you hear me?
Yeah.
You hear what I said?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said that's awesome.
Oh, cool. Okay, I lost you there for a second. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, I don't know. I might be having problems with Skype tonight. I don't know. Alan, you there?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm here, but the audio's, both you guys' audio are in and out.
Okay.
All right then. Host it.
Let's do it.
Host the show, Alan, for a while. I'm going to try and figure out my audio situation.
Peppy, you were cutting out too, so I don't
know.
Yeah,
you guys have been cutting in and out. I don't know if it's Chuck or if it's my phone or what. I'm not sure.
Well, carry on conversation, Alan.
All right. Okay. Anyway, Peppy, I guess we can go into our little adventure today too. So we haven't talked to you since we got back, but we started out our little Pineta trip, bridge fishing trip today, and. We hit the flats early. We saw some fish, but caught one little rat red, tiny little thing. And after that it got so hot so quick, we just paddled over to the bridge and started dropping some live shrimp around the pilings, which I'd never done before, which was actually pretty cool. So once I kind of got the hang of how to let it go to the bottom, kind of bring it up just off the bottom a little bit, caught a couple of croakers at first, and then we started getting the mangroves, just kind of working the fenders and stuff. We got, I think we ended up total between all of us, 5 or 6 keepers, so it was fun. Definitely something different.
That's cool, man. You did get out of your realms in order to do the... In order to catch a snapper, man. Were you guys using did you guys use bait, or were you guys artificial?
No. We stopped I stopped. I made the shrimp run this morning and picked up about 5 dozen shrimp, and we all shared it. We went through it pretty quick. We towards the end ended up having a break in half using just the head, tails, whatever. Greg threw some gulp, tried to get some stuff on gulp. I think he got, I don't know if he ever caught anything on the gulp or not, but shrimp was definitely the ticket. So, but next time we need more shrimp. That's for
we
sure.
We got to hit up that area where you guys were. We actually got to hit up that area a certain time of the year. I'm not sure yet. I got to talk to the people who gave me the reports, but they were, I know they were on the black drum. On the black drum's pretty good this year there in that area there. So
cool.
I wouldn't mind doing that. You know?
Take
some stinky shrimp out there and trying that. That wouldn't be a bad deal.
Yeah. Yeah, get some crabs, break them up, whatever, anything. I'm down for it. It was pretty cool. Like Chuck said earlier, it was something different, you know, out of the regular foot or so of water that I'm used to fishing. So it was cool. I mean, we had fun. I caught, I think, 3 keepers, and a couple of them were pushing 12 inches or a little more, whatever. I don't remember, but. We had fun. It's definitely a way to get out of the heat, too. You can get up underneath that bridge in the shade, and it's like 10, 15 degrees cooler. Just got to watch them boats come up. You know, we didn't fish in the channel. We stayed out of the channel, but some of them boats were coming through there way too fast. Big sport fishers and stuff. But it was
especially
fun.
Especially on a long weekend, man. Long weekend fishing there, man. That's kind of scary, man.
Yeah, holiday weekend, but... tell you, it was funny, too. We got off to a rough start. I think I was the first one down there. Tammy sent me a message, said she was tired. I think she'd fished like 3 days in a row. She was whipped, wasn't gonna come. And she said I guilted her into coming because I bought her extra shrimp. So she ended up coming. Wade texted me about 5 o'clock. He couldn't get the tailgate of his truck open. So... he couldn't get his kayak in the back of the truck because the tailgate wasn't open. And Chuck called me. He couldn't find his bed extender. His truck battery was dead. Had to find his wife's car keys to get the truck started. So we got off to a pretty rough start, but everybody ended up showing up, and it worked out. So we had a good time. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me now?
Great, man. We can hear you now.
Yeah, I heard you.
You there?
Can you hear me now?
Chuck?
Chuck, you there?
Alan?
You there, Pappy?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
Can you hear me now?
Bad tonight. Yeah, I can hear you
can
now.
Hear you. Yeah,
what
we hear
the world?
You.
What's going on, man? I don't know what's going on with this thing tonight.
I don't know. The audio, it's horrible. I don't know if I was breaking up, but...
No, I heard everything you said. I don't know. How do I sound right now?
Okay. You kind of chopped up there a couple seconds, but everybody else is saying they can hear us, so maybe it's just us. I don't know.
All right, cool. Well, whatever. Go ahead and screen that call there, Alan. See who it is. And then, so that's how my morning started off, as you heard from Alan. I woke up. Went to load everything up, couldn't find my bed extender, and then I realized that my bed extender was at the shop, and I had my old bed extender here at the house, and I couldn't find it, and I finally located that one, and then went out and got everything situated in the truck, just ready to pull it out and back it up so I can load the boat, and battery was dead. So that's always good. So, pulled out of that and walked in the house, couldn't find my wife's car keys, and it was tough. It was a tough morning. Finally got the truck jumped and got down into the launch, did a little fishing with the guys, had a good time, and then next thing you know, we get back to the truck and battery's dead. So Alan was nice enough to give me a jump there at the launch, and kind of stunk because the battery that it was in the truck wasn't that old, so I wasn't really looking forward to having to buy a new battery, or if that was the case. And so ended up that the battery was still under warranty, so that was a score for the home team. But I love it when you walk into an auto place and you walk out with a brand new battery and it didn't cost you anything. It's always a good day.
But Yeah, and but you know what? The bridge fishing stuff, man, it's a lot of fun. And catching mangroves is one of my favorite things to do when I'm not on the flats. And it can't get any simpler. I mean, it's not like it takes a rocket scientist to figure it out. We're just using live bait style hooks with a decent length leader. I mean, my rig basically for the day was I was using 20-pound leader to 10-pound braid, and I guess those are probably what, no, 2-0s or maybe even three, no, those are probably 2-0s, weren't they, Alan?
Yeah, they were 2-0s. Number five.
Yeah, 2-0 live bait style hooks. They look like owners, and a split shot above the leader. I mean, cook the shrimp, drop it over the side, wait till you feel it tap, and try and rip their face off. But Alan definitely swung for the fences. He did a lot better than the rest of us did, put on a clinic. But it was a lot of fun, like you say. And I'm going back. I'm going to try a different bridge, but I'm going to go back and do some more bridge fishing for sure, especially even though we're getting towards that time of year where it's going to start getting a little bit cooler. It's going to be really, really productive to go ahead and jump all over those bridges, man. And the black drum should start showing up on them in pretty good numbers. A couple of you guys caught some big pig fish. I mean, big pig fish. I'd have loved to be able to drop them offshore on a wreck. But, you know, you never know what you're going to catch out there. I've caught big snook off the bridges. I've caught tarpon off the bridges before. So you never know. But, we're going to break away from that real quick. Let's jump on in to talk to one of our good buddies from Fat Fish Guide Service over there over in the west coast of Florida, Mr. Derek Burgess. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's going on?
Same old, same old.
Same old, same old. Man, you know what? I haven't targeted any snapper, but you guys, listening to you guys makes me want to now this week. I love me some snapper, man. You guys sound like you got a good bite over there right now.
Yeah, it's pretty good, man. This is the time of year where they'll move into the river. The juveniles will kind of push in through the inlets and stuff and home up on some of the bridges and whatnot. So it's a lot of fun. Nothing really big. I mean, you can be, if you really sat there and put in some time, you'll pull some 15, 16, 17-inch fish out of the off the bridge pylons. But you know what, man? A good mess of 12 to 14 inches are pretty good.
Nice, nice. Well, that sounds good, man. I'll tell you what, over here on the West Coast, I've had a chance to move around this week. It's been pretty productive. I fished out in Sarasota, and I'll tell you what, there's some huge schools of reds out there. I mean, really good schools with some nice bullfish. They're eating the Sebille stick shads, any topwater you got, good-sized topwaters, and, of course, the SSBs in darker colors. I got to fish in Bradenton yesterday and found some trout out there, trout in the passes, and of course the trout are going to eat all your soft plastics as well, rigged on jigs or any top waters. Lots of snook. They have plenty of snook down there. Lot of undersized, no slot, and nothing too big, but finding them in the groves and some fast-moving water on the outgoing down there. So I had some good times yesterday. I mean, I only fished like 2.5 hours before I got caught in the rain and did pretty well. Out here in Tampa, we're still catching some tarpon off the beaches. They're not as big. These fish have been around 70 to 80 pounders, you know, 90 pounders, just under 100. Been using pinfish, live pinfish or live shad. It's been mostly what's been available. Couple reports I got, nobody was really catching them on any sardines or anything, just mainly all the pinfish and the shad. Seems like this time of year that's what they're getting on. Rigging them on one knockers. Yeah, it's been pretty good, man. I mean, reds over here in Tampa, they've been schooled up pretty hard on the South Shore, you know, down, got an area called Miguel's Bay and Joe's Island, and anywhere down south, they've been pretty thick down there. They've been eating super early on the lows, and you can catch them tailing sometimes, and as soon as that sun comes up and gets warm, say 9 o'clock, it's over. No more for those guys. I mean, they're going to hide in the deeper water, and they're randomly catching them, or some guys are getting them on cut bait, which I don't use myself, really, unless I'm on your guys' coast, man.
Yeah, it's kind of a necessary evil for us over here for the big fish, unless you're peppy.
I'm telling you, man, but that's cool, though. Whatever, man. Whatever catches those slavs, I'm down. You guys got some beasts over there. So, but our snook over here in Tampa are, I mean, this is a good time. Seems like this weekend. I don't know if they knew it was going to be the opening of snook season for us, which was yesterday. But they were feeding very hard on the mullet. I mean, it almost looked like the early mullet run deal. I mean, they just were just stacked up, pushing up all the mullet up against the banks and just taking their turn on them. Most fish are like under 30, nothing too big, but really nice to come down and just get some of those guys, man.
Yeah, very cool. Now, listen, if you were going to, since we've been talking about mangrove snappers, if you were going to go out and try and target some mangroves by you, do you have, are there any bridge expansions and stuff like that that might would hold them, or do you have to head a little bit offshore?
Yeah.
Or what's your situation over there?
Oh yeah, we got plenty of spots out here. We actually have some spots in the flats that are a little bit deeper structure, some oyster beds that hold them. Any bridge like the Gandy Bridge or the Howard Franklin Bridge or even the Courtney Campbell Causeway out here holding them. Tons of docks. I mean, any of the docks. I mean, a lot of the tricks guys use out here, I'm pretty sure they may use on your coast too, is just they'll bring a shovel or something. They can scrape the piles, the pilings or whatever, or the walls, even some of the seawalls, and they'll chum them up, man. They'll chum them up with that and bring some sheephead out as well. So it's pretty fun, man.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Listen, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and do a charter with you, man, how do you do it?
Yeah, they can check me out at www.fatfishkayakcharters.com, and it's spelled with a P-H-A-T, not the F-A-T, and they can give me a call at 813-447-4732.
Awesome, man. Are you going to meet us up there at the Boondoggle or what?
Oh, just about.
What's that? You're breaking up, buddy.
You there?
There.
Yeah.
You there?
Here.
Chuck, you there? I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, there. Yeah, he's there. Derek, you can be able to meet us at the Boondoggle or what?
No, Boondoggle. Unfortunately, I'll be in Puerto Rico that weekend, man. I'm going to miss this Boondoggle. Yeah,
no,
I'll be
in
the next, believe me. I'll be on the next one, guys. I'll be on the next one, so.
Go ahead, Puppy.
Bendito, Nanny.
What's up, baby? What up, Peppy? That's a beast right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy right there.
Cool, man. Well, listen, enjoy your trip and have a safe one. Well, I'm sure we'll talk to you way prior to that, but I appreciate the call as always, man. Thanks so much for keeping us in tune with what's going on over there on your coast.
Anytime, brother. Anytime. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
Excellent, man. Take it easy, brother.
See you, brother.
All right, guys. Derek's a vast wealth of knowledge, man. I really enjoy listening to his reports.
Crushes the fish, too.
Crushes the fish. And from one fish crusher to one of the better rod builders I've ever had the pleasure of using one of their rods, of Mr. Lenny Sutton. Black
What's
Dog
going
Custom
on,
guys?
What's going on, man? What's going on, brothers? You there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We're here.
I can hear Peppy. Who's that?
Yeah.
Who's that? Who's
that? How many rum and cokes have you had?
Just a couple. How many drinks have you had?
Lenny's out there running around on the Indian River trying to find ducks already.
Hey, man, I saw him today. I was all happy. I saw a few teal today. I was all stoked up, ready to go for next season, and the fishing was horrible. Man, we ran from Grant all the way down to Sebastian Inlet, ran a little bit offshore. We had pulled up on a big school bait. It was getting all busted up on by some bonitas. They didn't want to eat. We played around with them for a little bit and hit the inlet for some snapper on a slack tide, and that was it, man. It was done. It was done, nothing. Just a few little jacks, a few little blue runners, and it was done. And the boat traffic was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we experienced that over there at the bridge, man. It was nuts. And you had guys on jet skis and flats boats and big giant sport fishermen running up and down the intercoastal. It was kind of a little hairy there a couple times.
I think I lost you, Chuck.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I hear you now.
Yeah, my bad. I get bad reception here in the house, and Skype's been acting up a little bit tonight. We were sitting there at the bridge, and we almost got taken out two or three times. I think our buddy Greg Berry was probably the closest to getting taken out. He almost got waffled by a flats boat.
Yeah, well, you guys were unlucky again, getting ran over by a mud boat this morning.
Yes.
Well, I just figured I'd call and give you guys a lesson. The fishing here, the water, if you're hitting the incoming tide, it looks good. As soon as that tide turns, water clouds up and fishing shuts down. And, I mean, it was good this morning for a little while. There was a lot of fish, a lot. The mullet are crazy right now. I mean, there's so much mullet, and it's so hard to compete with them.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, man, is when we get these big influxes of bait fish and stuff, it's just, you know, getting your bait to stand out from the rest of them, it can be tough.
We were throwing, I threw everything that I could think of at those bonitas. I had some soft plastics I threw at the bonita. They wouldn't even hit slayers. They just wanted those blue runners, and that was it. If you weren't throwing anything that looked like a blue runner, you might as well forget about it.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, listen, man, if anybody wants to buy one of your handmade custom rods, how do they do that?
They look up Black Dog Rods.com or hit me up on Facebook, Black Dog Rods at Facebook.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Lenny.
All right, brother. You guys have a good one.
You too, brother.
All right,
see
later.
Ya.
Later.
Yeah. Lenny's good people, man. I know a bunch of us here on the Space Coast fish his rods. So if you're in the market for a custom rod, man, check them out. Definitely worth your while. And from Mr. Lenny Sutton, we're going to run right over to Brad from Sunjammers up in Pensacola. You got me, Brad?
Yeah, I'm here. Panama City, not Pensacola.
Oh, my bad. Panama City. That's my fault.
That's all right. Just about 2 hours east. It's all right. A little bit better fishing over here, we like to think. They disagree with us, but that's all right.
What's going on over in your neck of the woods, brother?
Oh, just trying to dry out from all the rain we've had and trying to figure out how to fish in and Dunkin' Donuts coffee, because that's about what our bay looks like. It's nasty. But the fish are eating, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, what's going on? What are you guys catching and where are they headed?
They're catching quite a few trout right now. They're slid off in a little bit deeper water, at 3 to 5 foot, which is deep for us for catching trout. And then that reg in that 2 to 3 foot of water. Anything that makes vibrations, and I really don't care where you are, is going to get bit. Bait's scarce in the bay right now. I guess all that fresh water flushed the bait out. But the Slayer Ink paddle tails are by far the number one bait that people are catching good-sized fish on. There's that oversized tail just going thump, 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 thump through the water with a steady but slow retrieve, and they're just getting crushed. That and Aqua Dream spoons. And it's pretty much, you know, the entire bay's being productive like that. If you can find a place without floating grass, any topwater bait's working really good. The unfair lures are working good. But pretty much everything that you can't rig weedless or get, you know, a foot or so below the surface just getting tangled up with grass.
So let me ask you this. When we head up there for – oh, crap.
Oh. What happened? There?
Did we lose him?
Who's there? You there, Brad?
Yeah, you got me.
Chuck?
We lost Chuck.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
Stupid Skype, man.
Man.
Chuck. Brad Allen?
Yeah,
yeah,
we're
you
here.
Got Brad.
Yeah, Brad's there, Peppy. We're just, there's all kinds of audio bugs going on tonight. I don't know what's up.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, man. Weird stuff. Chuck's trying to get it fixed, so.
We'll ask you what he was about to ask. He was about to ask about Boondoggle. I know that.
Yeah. Last I heard, yeah, we can't wait for everybody to come up this way. You know, we wish we could have drug Boondoggle over to Panama City, but we just don't have the infrastructure to support the size of the Boondoggle, which is a good thing if Boondoggle's that big. It just thinks it's not my backyard.
Hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
No, I was going to ask him. I was going to ask Brad if you're going there. Are you going to Boondoggle?
I'll drive over one day, but it's hard for me to commit that far out. The shop's just so busy. It's hard for me to get away and, you know, especially predict, you know, that far out that I can be gone a weekend like that, especially a holiday weekend. If it's anything like this weekend was, I may drive over one night, but getting over there during the day is going to be tough.
Yeah, you got to make your way over there, though, because you got to, you know, people got to look at you and they got to look at Chad next to each other to see what's up with that.
And Chad will still be so fat you won't be able to see me. I'll have to stand in front of Chad.
Oh, man. That's good, though, man. That's good what you guys got going.
Oh, yeah, it's we both needed to lose weight, and obviously Hal needs all the kayaks they can get, so it's a win-win for absolutely everybody. I'm sure I'll make it over there one of the days. I'm just not sure yet which one or for how long or how many, but I have so many invites from everybody saying I can just crash in their RVs and their tents and stuff. It'll be no problem for me to find a place to sleep.
Yeah, that'll be great. Even if you go by for one day, like you said, that'll be good. Get to see all these people that you never get to see.
Absolutely.
Yep. I've never fished in that area before. That's going to be something new for me. I've never fished the Panhandle at all. I've never done that fishing over there.
If we can get the rain to stop, it's absolutely beautiful. Our water's typically crystal clear. You know, you can sight fish. We're all messed up. We're used to sight fishing our reds and, you know, 10 inches, you know, 18 inches of water. You know, you see the school, you see the fish. I want that one. You pitch to it, make presentation. You're hooked up. Now you can't see anything. So it's a lot of mystery for us right now. We're actually scratching our heads every time we're on the water. But the fish are there and they're eating. It's just a different style of fishing. But if it clears up, y'all will have y'all all be buying houses up here. I guarantee it.
Oh, man, it's just a drive for us. So you would think it's in Florida, you would think it's not that far, and it's like a 6.5-hour drive for us, 6.5-7-hour drive. But
we have people all the time. Don't y'all ever get down to the mangrove, you know, to the Keys or in Florida? I'm like, that's like 14 hours away. Are you kidding me? No.
That's right. Yeah, people think because you're in the same state that it's right there.
Yeah, it's like driving the length of California. It's massive.
Brad,
you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm here.
All right.
You're there.
You're back now.
Staying with the theme species, if someone was going to come up there and look for mangrove snappers, what's the chances?
They're very good. The place nobody fishes is actually the west end of Panama City Beach and Lake Powell. It's the largest coastal dune lake in the country, if not the world. And a place called Pinnacle Port, if you get down there, you know, they're little docks. We call them the yuppie docks because they're rich people. They have mangroves sitting all around the docks. Live shrimp, small hook, pitch it out there and hang on. Almost no weight. You need to make that shrimp look like it fell, like a bird dropped it in the side, almost like your sheep's head fishing, and that's how they're catching them.
Wow. Road trip.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Y'all need to come up. This fall is when you need to come for our sheep's head spawn. It is unbelievable. you know, just watching five or six sheepshead fight over, you know, a little bitty peeled shrimp that, you know, you just tossed on the water and they just annihilate it. Sheepshead fishing up here is a blast. But you're going to get
awesome.
Nasty rushed up around the pylons.
Hey, it's all right. The Hobie's a little bit too slick right now, so I can use to scrape it up a little bit, I think.
Absolutely. It helps decal stick better, so that's all right. roughing it up a little.
I was going to say I lost the partial decal today to the barnacles, yeah. But I've got an extra backup.
I messed up a couple.
Well, Brad, man, I appreciate you calling us, and I saw that new Hobie paddleboard you got.
Oh, yeah, the new Hobie paddleboards are awesome. It's we got our paddleboards like a week after, although they wouldn't let me bring the new Hobie kayaks out until September 1st, really, and start playing with them. But the paddleboards showed up on Saturday, and all of them playing with them paddleboards. They're so sexy. But we started playing with the new Revos today, so we'll start rigging them. I think we put three bottom machines on tomorrow, so we'll know exactly if that Lowrance Ready system is going to work on the new kayaks or not, like designed. We'll know within a couple of days.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that here on our coast, too, at the shop that I work at, man. I know that everything Hobie's done the last couple of years has just been incredible, and time for everybody to keep playing catch up. You know, they didn't make very many changes this year, but then again, I don't think they really needed to. I keep bothering Frank. I keep asking him when are they ever going to come out with a 14-foot Outback?
And what does Frank say?
Frank always, you know, how he is, man. He always has the roundabout answer, as in they're thinking of it, but I don't know. So
yeah.
But you
Frank,
know, I think
Frank
I think he probably would agree.
He would make an excellent politician.
Oh yeah, he would. But I think you would agree. I think that would be a stellar move in the boat line to put out something like an Outback and a 14-footer, a little bit of a flatter deck, something you can stand in. At least
yeah,
for me,
they actually asked me. They polled me on that. I was iffy on it. It's, you know, the pro anglers are doing so well, you know, so, you know, you can, it's got, when you can probably do everything you can out of that 14-foot Outback and a 12-foot pro angler, for the most part, it's, you know, I'm not sold that they definitely need one. There's no doubt I'm definitely in the minority on that. They have my wish list of upgrades that I demanded to see for 2014. I mean, 2015, but I know they just laughed at me. They're very similar to the ones I gave them about a year ago, and I didn't see any of them. So, you know, I want to see integrated tracks. I want to see sacrificial skid plates on the back. That's my top two, and I want them to really research a different style seat option. But most people, once they sit in like a Revo or an Outback for any length of time, they realize you don't need a better seat. That seat's actually pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah, I have no problem with the Outback seat. I spent many an hour in that seat, and it's actually fairly comfortable for what it is. You know, just being exploding 250 pounds.
It's that,
you know,
perceived value, the Jacksons, the Mayors, with the Slayer have. You know, those high low seats. That's just a perceived value. Most people around here leave those seats in the low position and just kayak, but people rarely fish in the up position for any length of time.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, no problem. And if we can help you all out, we're a phone call away.
Absolutely, man. We look forward to hearing from you again in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Just let me know when you want me to call in.
Every week.
And I'll start bugging y'all at 7:30 every Monday night.
Sounds good, right, brother. Appreciate it, man.
Sounds good.
Hey,
everybody,
oh, wait,
night.
Real quick, Brad.
Yep.
Tell everybody how to find you.
Just Google Sunjammers, Facebook.com/Sunjammers, YouTube/Sunjammers, any social media /Sunjammers, and then always at Sunjammers.com. We ship nationwide. Anything and everything. If you don't see it, let me know. I screwed up and it should have been there anyways.
Awesome.
Thank you, Brad.
No problem. Y'all have a good night.
All right, buddy. You
thanks
too.
A lot.
Take care, Brad.
Bye.
And from Brad to Rory, Greg. I know we kept him on hold there for a while, so see if he's still there.
What's up, Rory?
Yeah, man. What's up, brothers from other mothers? How's the Labor Day weekend? Happy Labor Day weekend.
You too.
Hey.
Yeah, just getting off the water myself. I had to play Dodge the Storms late in the day here, and I was itching to get on the water. And actually, just driving through some rain, still a little bit less at the end of the day here, but a little slow on the topwater bite after the storms pushed through tonight. Had a charter yesterday morning, a rare occasion where I had an artificial charter, so that's always kind of fun when people want to challenge themselves, and it was a two-person charter, and did okay. The topwater bite was really slow. I mean, the conditions were great. It was totally laid down and slicked out over in Chicopee Bay. I mean, you know, what I call a perfect pit tide, you know, high tide early morning, low tide midday. You can do pretty much everything throughout the swing of the tide. You know, started off working topwater plugs and weedless spinner baits, inline flare spinner baits with various color combos on there. We ended up kind of having a slow start, but a pretty good finish. And most of the action came as, you know, the tide kind of started to move a little bit more. There was tons of bait everywhere. Just like our guy from Sunjammer said, the mullet is just thick right now. And, you know, if you can match that, you know, that's where it's at. It's the fingerling mullet everywhere. And, you know, anything else is in total competition to the live bait action. So, but busted out, you know, some Slayer SSTs in the silver mullet. And then also just the good old white with the chartreuse tail has been on fire for the flounder. Landed three nice flounder, you know, 18 to 20 inches. All the guys had some good fresh fry to take home, and then a few trout in the mix as well. So didn't get onto the school of reds I was looking for. We found a few, you know, around midday, but it was just, like, really stinky hot. And then, sure enough, like, right around that incoming tide push in the afternoon, I got a report from Dad. He went out and, of course, you know, cast netted some nice finger mullet and pushed off in his PA and went out to a couple of our honey holes. And, you know, he said he left them biting, which is not surprising when I call to get a report from him. So he said he had about five or six, you know, slot reds, upper slot reds, a few nice flatties in the mix. And then he said after a couple hours, his old bones couldn't take the heat anymore, so he had to get out of the kitchen. But all caught on Slayer jig heads. And overall, pretty good weekend all around. Got some reports from the boys in various areas. Had some good topwater action. Some nice trout caught up to, you know, 25-plus inches. And some good night fishing action going on topwater and also with the long A's under the lights. So, again, you know, live bait is killer, but if you can get into some good action right now and kind of match the hatch, it's kind of where it's at. We're in that transitional phase right now, waiting for the water to dip a couple degrees in another month or so.
Awesome.
That was a bite for you guys this weekend.
Chuck, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Rory, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I guess I'm not Alan.
I'm here. It just turned out really bad.
Still difficulties.
I was just waiting for Alan or Pepe to talk.
My audio is so bad.
Yeah, well, there's a ton of storms seeping through over here right now, and I don't know how the electricity's down there where you guys are at, but it's even when I was on hold, it was kind of in and out, in and out.
Yeah, I could hear you fine, Rory.
Okay.
Yeah.
10-4, man. Well, I just pulled up to the house, so I'm going to get in here and get settled up to get back in action this week. And then got a few good tournaments coming up this weekend, the Anglers for the Cure and also North Florida Challenge. So should be a fun weekend coming up. And then got the outdoor show as well coming up a weekend from now. So that should be good as well here in Jacksonville, the Prime Osborne Convention Center.
Very cool. And if anybody wants to book a trip with you, man, how do they do it?
Yeah, they can reach me on my website at chickapitbay.com. Waiting for some updates there, so my phone number has changed. My email address is my full name, Rory Austin Gregg, 2 G's, at yahoo.com. And my website guy finally getting back from his hiatus in Costa Rica, so I'm going to get with him next week. But my new number is 904-314-0628, and the action is just going to keep getting better to our favorite month of the year coming up in October. So give us a call and book a trip. They're booking up pretty thick here for the fall already.
Very cool, man. I appreciate the call.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure.
Hey.
I'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Rory.
Yeah,
right.
Thanks, Rory. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, the beauty of live radio. It's
wow.
Almost like I don't know whether I'm having problems or you're having problems or what's going on. It's almost like one of those. That's why I'm sort of like quiet sometimes because I just don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Just remember.
Same thing.
Just remember, in radio, the worst thing is dead air.
Yeah.
So even if you're not sure if you have reception or not, say something.
Yeah, just
or
talk away.
Or push a button.
Just push a button.
Like this button.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
Give me the Flats of Dawn. With plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Whoa! Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Yeah. So let's see how long my audio lasts.
What do you got? You're on your cell phone, aren't you?
While the commercial was going on.
Say what?
Oh.
I lost you again.
You there?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you are. Man.
Yeah.
Even the commercials were cutting out.
I'm telling you, man, it is cutting in and out.
Well, no, I'm listening to the actual live feed, and it sounds fine.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Besides the fact that, you know, we're kind of cutting in and out, the actual feed itself. I heard Rory's entire conversation.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Anyway, real quick, yeah. Matt Giles, I think, is asking about the camping at Cars Park for the Emily tournament. I think is what he was saying.
I don't know nothing about that.
No, I don't know. I'm trying to roll back. Yeah, I mean, you can camp at Cars anytime. Camping's, what is it, I think, like $20 or $25 for water spots?
You can't camp at Cars anytime.
Not without the pass. Yeah, so I don't know if, okay, maybe he's thinking that.
When is Matt trying to go? Is he trying to go for the Emily tournament?
Yeah.
If it's the Emily tournament, I think Austin might have worked something out with Christina. There might be some worked out that people would camp for the Emily tournament, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Yeah, that's what Matt's saying. Okay. All right.
So,
maybe it works something out.
But it's $25, $25 for water and electric. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's $10 for a regular primitive site, I think. I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Something like that. $10 or $15, something like that.
And I think if you're fishing the Emily tournament during the Emily tournament and you launch at Cars Park,
The launch fee is waived for that day.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
That sounds good. So,
Matt, if you're out there, Matt, and you're listening to this, I hope you remember where Cars Park is. I know. I hope you remember how to get there. I hope you remember how to walk around there, because last time I saw you there at Cars Park, I don't think you knew where you were standing.
He's never been in Cars.
Yeah. Matt was wasted.
Yes, he was. First impression is the best.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that was a funny night.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah.
I'm going to text you his report. I want you to read it.
Okay.
You should have it down. Or soon.
All right. If I can figure this new phone out. I'm no longer in the iPhone ranks. So if I hang up on
you,
I'm sorry.
What? Tell you what, Skype sucks right now.
Hang on, let me see if I got it. Hang on.
There it is. You can always tell when somebody who's hosting the show gets a text. It sounds like a duck.
I didn't get the report yet.
No.
Not yet.
You turn on your radio. You hear me, Chuck? They're saying to turn down your radio. They're saying to turn
down
your radio. Yeah, they're saying there's an echo.
Well, I don't have a radio.
Oh, I don't know what's going on. It's saying echo, stuff. They're saying you have an echo going on.
I like echoes. Anyhow.
I don't know, man. The radio, you know, this whole radio thing decided to take a vacation with the holiday at the same time, I think, because, geez.
Yeah. Apparently. Alan, did you get that yet?
No, I didn't get it yet. You texted us my phone or on Facebook?
Yeah. No, on your phone?
No, didn't come through yet.
All right,
strange.
Well, anyway.
Strange evening.
What would you do this weekend, Alan, if you're going to go fishing this week?
If I wasn't working and I was going to go fishing, which I am working this weekend, which stinks, but oh well, I'll get a 4-day weekend after that. I don't know. You know, I'm going to probably use my days off during the week next week after working the weekend to, you know, maybe something like what we did today. You know, a little early morning flat session and then maybe some more bridge stuff. I don't know. That was pretty cool for sure. So. It's just so dang hot out right now. I mean, it's about all you can bear being on the water for a couple, 2 or 3 hours in the morning, and then it's pretty much done. So until it starts cooling down a little bit, I think my flats excursions are going to be early hour trips or hour or two trips, and then change it up. But we'll see.
Yeah. Quick. Quick trips.
Yes, very quick, with water.
Fabi, what's your plans for this weekend?
My plan for this week, if I fish, I'm going to fish probably Saturday or Sunday. And with the Emily tournament coming up, I'll tell you right now, I'm probably going to be scouting, probably trying to see where I could find some of those big reds and put a spot on them. You know, put a spot wherever those big reds are and pretty much know where they're at for the Emily tournament is pretty much what I'm going to do. I don't know exactly where yet, but pretty much got an idea where they're at, you know, so going to just see and play the game and see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
So that's
Hey, can you guys hear me?
That's my plan.
Yep.
Okay, I got you on speakerphone so I can read Hootie Who's report here.
Read it.
I got it. Here we go. This is from Matt Giles. Fishing has been awesome. The redfish are starting to school up. Got into a school a few times this week with fish all over slot. Early morning outgoing tide. They would eat just about anything we were throwing at them. Slayer SST, root beer chartreuse, and golden brim on a 3-0 jig head or weedless 8-ounce hook was working great, and mullet pattern topwaters. Snook season is open and everyone is hungry. All my snook spots had people on them catching fish. I'm personally encouraging catch and release when the snook bite is on, moving water around feeder creeks and up in the mangroves on high flood tides. Live bait can't be beat. Greenies are large shrimp. Next best thing is a DOA shrimp or Slayer SST pearl chartreuse. Not many trout, very few small trout. The manatees are going crazy. Had one scratch up on me waiting the other week. First time it's happened was kind of cool, though. Didn't really get into any deep water. Heard a report of some big sharks landed a little south near Anna Maria Island. 10-foot bull shark from the beach. Wow. Redfish should get better as soon as it starts to cool. So if you're interested in fishing the West Coast for big red, now's the time. Shoot me an email at woodyhoo@yahoo.com. Thank you. There you go.
Woody Hoo.
Woody Hoo.
Excellent. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
But, so, basically, I guess, if I were going to go and try and find something to do this upcoming weekend, I would go and mangrove snapper fish. Because I don't really personally care to try and fight with crowds of people on the flats and extremely hot water. Did you lose me again?
No. I was just saying that was bad today, dodging boats and waders and, man.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah.
But, I'd probably go hit all the different bridges that I could and see what's going on, see if you can find some black drum, maybe some big mangroves. A snook or two hanging around the fenders. You never know. But I was a little bit disheartened when, 50 to 100 slot-sized redfish swam past me. I threw everything I had at them, and none of them wanted to play.
Oh, yeah. Same here. Watch them swim by.
You know, and I almost hate it because it seems that once there's a school of fish, once word gets out that there's a school of fish somewhere, regardless if it's in the same spot that most of us will go and fish on a regular basis, by the time you get around to finding those fish, 9 times out of 10, they've been beaten to death so hard that the only thing they'll eat is natural bait. And so no motor zone is that way, too.
Chuck.
Yep. Yo. Can you not hear me?
Now you're back. Dude, I lost you now for about 10 seconds there.
Yeah.
Man.
Whatever. Anyway, so the no motor zone is getting beat up to death. The lagoon has been pretty much left alone for a while, it seems. So, I don't know. If I was going to go look for redfish, I'd probably hit the lagoon.
I heard the water's clearing up a little bit, which is good.
Randy Ingles keeps catching fish out there.
Yeah. And I tell you what, where we fished yesterday, I was very pleased. I've not fished that spot in probably, it's probably been 3 or 4 years. And there's grass coming back. I mean, I stopped fishing it because it was basically just a barren sand bottom last time I was out there. There wasn't even any bait. I mean, not a mullet, not a stingray, nothing. And I was very pleased to see those grass starting to come back in that section of the river. So there may be hope yet.
You know what? It's kind of strange with all the bad stuff that's going on with the river down south, down by Stewart and all that area with the runoff and all that stuff that they have coming from Lake Okeechobee. Because it's bad down there, and they're having all this stuff and everything like that, and it's really bad. But at the same time, this is probably the best the lagoon has looked in our area, our rivers up in this area, in probably about 2 or 3 years. It's probably the best it's looked in that time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's It's kind of strange, but I'm glad to see the grass is growing. You know, grass is growing back. Just hope it holds off.
Yeah, right.
Well,
by
I
the
mean,
way,
go ahead.
I'm going to say, not to change the subject, but we had a birthday yesterday. One of our group members, Mr. Wade Holloway. I won't say how old he turned, but happy belated birthday there, buddy.
Holloway.
Calvin's birthday.
Calvin. Good old
Calvin. How old
Calvin.
Are you, Calvin? Come on, Calvin. How old are you, 50?
50.
Come on, Calvin. I saw your AARP card the other day when you pulled out your wallet. I saw it.
AARP card.
He bought us all cheap coffee at McDonald's this morning. He got the discount. I'm just kidding.
No, you're not. You asked him that on the water.
Yeah, I did.
Well, yeah, so I don't even know what's going on. Yeah. I would definitely probably try and head up and try and find some new grounds to fish. I'm one who I've always liked to go and fish new areas or at least run around and hit different spots that I used to hit back in the day or whatever, just to kind of switch it up, you know, and you never know whenever you're going to find a new sweet spot, you know.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing, the most important lesson that can be learned from running across a school of over 100 fish that won't eat is just because you found some fish doesn't mean you need to go back every day and beat the tar out of them. You know? I mean, I kind of get it for some of the guides and stuff because you kind of need to. But you really, really have to think to yourself, does it make sense for me to continuously go back to the same spot and just keep hitting those fish in the head with the same thing? And the reason why I say that, truly, is because a couple of years back, man, I used to fish the South End Lagoon a lot. And down by the Sticks, down in the South End, right by Pelican Island. And, for me, it was just, it was a great place to go. I knew I could find fish. It was never really an issue. But the main problem was after a month or so, I wasn't getting hits. I'd see fish. I'd throw, you know, my typical baits at them, and they wouldn't eat it. So, I don't know. It's really, really frustrating to find fish and just not get them to eat. But then again, as a lot of guys have said, who fish tournaments all over the Southeast for redfish, if you can catch a redfish in the Mosquito Lagoon, the Indian River, basically just on the Space Coast, you can catch a redfish anywhere.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's tough.
You know,
they're educated.
Dude, they are. They're smart fish. They've seen the same things over and over and over again. You know, and I personally, I've kind of lost all enjoyment of fishing the same launch spot every weekend, unless of course we go with Peppy. And I mean, that never gets old.
But you guys, just like you're saying it, you know, you seem to fish over in No Motor Zone. When we go over to No Motor Zone, you seen those big. Whenever we run into the big girls, 40 inches or above, how many times have we tossed out artificial baits in front of their face that any other fish would take that bait? But those big ones do not take it. Most of the time, I say 90% of the time, those big ones will not take it. It's because that fish hasn't been living for 30 or 40 years for no reason at all. That fish has been around, you know. They know what to eat. You know, they know what to, you know, you throw that plastic, and a lot of them have gotten so smart, man, they just do not take it.
Yeah.
There?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I mean, it's interesting to watch some of the guys. I mean, during the redfish spawn, they get stupid, and they'll eat just about anything. I mean, you could throw the biggest topwater plug you can find, like a tuna popper,
that's
and
right.
try and eat it.
That's
but
right,
during typical, just typical seasonal fishing, it's tough, man. It can get really, really tough. So, you know, for me, of course, I think you guys heard it enough tonight. The Slayer baits are key for me. I can almost always get fish to turn around and slam one of those SSTs or SSBs. And in fact, today I heard some glass minnows getting busted up by a dock, so I paddled over to that. And Greg Berry even heard it. I had like a, I don't know, maybe 17, 18 inch little pup redfish come crashing out of the water trying to eat the bait. So they're aggressive when they're on that natural food, man. It's really, really hard sometimes to get them to commit to the plastics or to even hard baits. But I don't know. I'm just really, really stoked that our water's starting to clean up, that we have legitimate seagrass growing in the No Motor Zone and in parts of the Indian and Banana River. But that's it. I think we've talked enough tonight.
Yeah.
Between having technical difficulties here on the show tonight and whatever, we had some great reports from a lot of really, really knowledgeable people. Definitely appreciate that as always. Any of you guys who are in the chat room or listening to the show, either live or via the app later, you can download for free off of iTunes and Google products. If you want to give us a shout and give us a fishing report and be heard on kind of on a loop on our app, feel free to do so. And this little commercial will tell you how to do it. When we get back from this little commercial break, we'll say our goodbye. So here you go.
Welcome to KayakFishingRadio.com. To submit your local fishing report to be aired on Kayak Fishing Radio and the Kayak Fishing Radio iPhone and Android app, please follow these steps. Step 1, create a Skype account. Step 2, add Kayak Fishing Radio to your contacts on Skype. Step 3, call Kayak Fishing Radio and you will hear a recorded greeting. Start recording after the tone. If you do not have a computer or access to one, you may call in via phone at 404-890-5232. That's 404-890-5232.
There you go. So if you want to get involved with what all we got going on here at Kayak Fishing Radio, and you want to be heard, and you want to plug your club, or you want to plug the tournament you're putting on, or whatever you got going on, feel free to call that number and set up a Skype account and give us a report. But Bueller. I don't know, man.
You there?
I'm so out of it right now. Cool. So listen. Again, our theme species tonight was mangrove snapper. An easy rig for mangrove snappers would be just 20-pound leader material. You can dip down to lighter, but as Alan found out, they like to shoot for the pylon.
Hello.
So, go. What? What happened?
I lost you again.
Didn't hear anything you said.
Right up another commercial.
I can hear everything I just said.
What's that?
I heard everything I just said.
Okay. That's good.
I think there's something wrong with our phones is what it is. It's not the connection with people hearing it on the internet. I think it's the connection itself on the phones, I think.
Yeah, I think that we each drop out from each other's phone or something.
Yeah, it's the phone. Yeah. It's the phone loop. People are saying they can hear us in the...
Hear us in the chat room. Everybody thinks we're on some sort of medication.
Yeah.
Anyhow, yeah. So I use 10-pound Power Pro, maybe 15, 20-pound leader, monofilament or fluorocarbon. A number 1 or 1-0 or even a 2-0 size live bait hook works really well. I'm not a big fan of circle hooks for mangrove snappers, and Wade found out why. It's just sometimes it's just really, really hard to get them to commit and to be able to reel fast enough to get that hook to turn and do what it needs to do on the smaller mangroves. So live shrimp, if you can net some greenies or some pogies, small ones, bring some scissors along, cut their tails off, cut their heads off, use the body chunk with no weight. If you're using shrimp on the bridge, I like to use a small split shot. And that's pretty much it. Pretty simple. Bounce from bridge filing to bridge filing until you find them.
That's right.
Anything else?
Simple.
Sorry about that. Anything else to add?
No, I was going to say one thing. Yeah, once I got the hang of it, it was good. I got the feel for it. It's easy, so and fun.
And it's just like you said, Chuck. They're very finicky eaters. You got to let them pretty much eat. The way I usually work the mango snappers, I usually let them run a little bit. I let them take my line a little bit. As soon as they take my line, then set that hook. And once you set that hook, you got them on there. But they're very finicky, man.
Yeah, they're one of the smarter of the snapper family.
Yeah.
Snapper family? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. We're over. All right, Alan. Do your thing.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I want to thank Kayak by Bo, Harry Goods Outdoor Shop, Red Zone Apparel, Jackson Kayaks, Yak Gear. Who else? Ending Branches Aquabound, especially. The new Surge Carbon is amazing. If anybody has never tried that paddle, you got to get your hands on it.
That one looks sexy today, by the way.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. I loved it.
Not you, your paddle.
Oh, my paddle. Oh, okay, cool. Thanks. Yeah, I liked it. And that's it. That's it for me.
Happy.
All right. I got to first, let me thank Kayaks Fishing Radio, Kayaks by Bo, Harry Goods Outdoor Shop in Melbourne, Native Watercraft, Aquabound Paddles, my Aquabound, my Carbon Surge will be here on Thursday, so I get to test it out on Thursday. We'll see what that's all about. But Slayer Inc. Lures, Hook One Kayak Fishing Gear, Yak Attack, Ram Mounts, Orca Coolers, Tackle Webs, Black Dog Custom Rods, Fishing Florida Radio, and Tailing Toads.
Dang.
Jeez.
Amen.
Just make me feel inferior.
All right, and of course for me, I'd like to thank Hobie Kayaks, Orca Coolers, Tackle Webs, Railblazer and Yak Gear, Ego Nets, ENO, Sending Branches. I actually have my brand new paddle, my Navigator, that will hopefully soon be able to accompany my brand new Sea Deck, hopefully, on my Pro Angler 14, which I think the paddle's more for decoration. But it'll be a fine piece of equipment, just in case my Mirage Drive should break. Slayer Inc. Lures and Kayaks by Bo. And, of course, folks, we're getting ever closer to the opening of KBV Outfitters. If you guys are heading to the Boondoggle, make sure to stop by and see one of us, either Alan, Pepe, or myself. We may or may not have some freebies for you. Frisbees. No, I'm kidding. All right, but anyway, listen, seriously, on a serious note, as this show tends not to be so serious sometimes, take a child fishing. They are for sure the future of our sport. Very, very important that we do that. And thank you to the folks who fished with us today. Had a great time. And we'll leave you with a boondoggle spot, and then we'll get out of here. Gentlemen, appreciate it as always. Sorry for the technical difficulties tonight. We'll work that out, and we'll talk to you guys next. No, wait. We will not have a live show next Monday.
That's right.
Because Alan and I are fantastic husbands, and we decided that our wives should be able to go out for a, what's it called?
It's the melting pot ladies' night dinner, and get their nails done and all that good stuff.
So we get stuck with the kids.
They're excited. Yeah.
So what is that? Is that what you call a brownie points night? Is that
a brownie point night. That's all that is.
We were actually told it was happening. We had no choice.
Yeah. I'm going to try and get the grandparents to watch the kids and do some night fishing.
There you go.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh. All right, everybody, listen, take it easy. Be safe out there. Take a kid fishing. See you at the boondoggle. It's coming up soon. We're within maybe a month and a week.
Wow.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep, it's coming up.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle's just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium-quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at OrcaCoolers.com.